The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, this week on Inside Hollywood, we continue our summer series called Perfect Movies, where we take a look at those rare cinematic creations that directors, film scholars, actors and audiences alike consider, well, flawless, not just good, not just great, but absolutely perfect. And this week, Lisa Cannon has chosen The Shawshank Redemption. Lisa, head of studio at DMG Media, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. I mean, this is a perfect movie in my eyes. I know you haven't seen it in a long time.
Yeah.
It's a hard movie to watch. Let's just be honest. You know, I suppose when it comes on television, people, oh, do I want to stick with this? But it's so beautifully crafted. And it was actually 1994. It really wasn't a box office hit when it came out. And then I think, like anything good, when it's word of mouth, people started to resonate with the movie because it's a movie about hope, a film about endurance and injustice, and most importantly, friendship.
I mean, the big movies of that year, Pulp Fiction and Forrest Gump.
Indeed,
two massive movies. Pulp Fiction, does it stand the test of time? Probably yes. Not so sure about Forrest Gump.
No, I think, and even though they were Oscar contenders on Oscar winners, I think with Shawshank, you know, it was a modest opening at the time. And then, you know, people kind of with TV airings and streamings, even right up to modern day now, it's quietly become the film that resonates deeply with audiences around the world. And people say to the director, you know, director Frank Darabont, that it was actually a wonderfully inspiring piece of filmmaking, which I think it is.
Let's hear the first clip.
Sometimes it makes me sad, though, Andy being gone. I have to remind myself that some birds aren't meant to be caged. Their feathers are just too bright. And when they fly away, the part of you that knows it was a sin to lock them up does rejoice. But still, the place you live in is that much more drab and empty that they are gone. I guess I just miss my friend.
No, the voice of Morgan Freeman there, which is, if you like, the thread that pulls the narrative together.
Absolutely. I think everybody wants their life story narrated by Morgan Freeman. Actually, his gravelly tone had to be re-recorded entirely post-production because the background noise on set ruined the original takes. And it was actually shot mostly in Mansfield in Ohio, in a prison, which you can visit and they run tours. But really and truly, Morgan Freeman, you know, what's so wonderful about his performance is it's perfect as well. And there's a talk later on, which will be one of the clips we show today, or you'll hear today, is about how he didn't really know whether he wanted to take the role on or not, and he felt that maybe, you know, it was just a speaking crafted role. But actually, when he saw how important Andy Dufresne was and what meant in terms of the character development, he was all in.
Now tell us the scenario.
The scenario is firstly just want to let you know that Tom Hanks, Kevin Costner and Nicolas Cage were considered for the role of Andy Dufresne before Tim Robbins came on board. Tim Robbins, of course, plays Andy Dufresne, couldn't think of a better actor for it. And actually, his casting was due to Morgan Freeman because Morgan Freeman at the time was such a big star that he was able to pick his co-hosts and co-anchors. But really what was truly remarkable about it is that Andy Dufresne is framed for a murder he never committed of his wife. And Morgan Freeman is in there as well. Both of them in there for life imprisonments. And nobody ever thought anyone could get out of Shawshank. But Andy meticulously crafted and carved his way out of the prison, which it's actually based on a Stephen King novel, Rita Hayworth and the Shawshank Redemption. And I think not only is the friendship element important, but the endurance there, because I feel that really the endurance and the longevity and the time they spent there, it's hard to watch a prison movie, but I think it's a pretty spiritual movie in many ways as well.
Let's hear another clip.
In 1966, Andy Dufresne escaped from Shawshank Prison. All they found of him was a muddy set of prison clothes, a bar of soap, and an old rock hammer, damn near worn down to the nub. I remember thinking it would take a man 600 years to tunnel through the wall with it. Old Andy did it in less than 20.
20 years.
20
chiseling
years.
Your way through a prison wall.
I mean, as I mentioned earlier, it's a hard film to watch. There's some really dark scenes in it, but actually Tim Robbins insisted on a real sewage water for the iconic pipe, you know, escape scene where, of course, his redemption is there and you see him in the black cloud of hope. But the library built in the prison was also donated after filming to local inmates. And I think, you know, the quiet strength of the movie is the heartbeat of it, I think, ultimately. And I think it's about celebrating humanity as well, because you do get to indulge in the characters over the 2 hours, 20 minutes.
Now, people actually go to visit the prison.
They do, yes. There's tours of the prison. It's a bit like, you know, John Lennon, up in Dakota Buildings as well in New York. These spots that are marred with sadness become tourist iconic routes.
This is fiction.
Fiction, yeah. And you know, Morgan Freeman, injured his arm over the baseball throwing scene filmed over 9 hours. But people enjoy going to the prison and seeing what it was like there. This movie is iconic. I mean, it's subtlety, but the emotional payoff is staggering, really. And I think if you can sit with it, if you haven't seen it, do watch it, please, because not only is it, you know, in the age of all the Marvel madness that we have now, this is a slow-paced movie. Yeah, it's not fast, but it's got that emotional core that I think sometimes movies are missing. And I think that's why it's become such an eloquent, iconic piece of movie-making history that most directors and us alike deem it as a perfect movie.
Now, we have another clip which is moving on a bit.
Dear Red, if you're reading this, you've gotten out. And if you've come this far, maybe you're willing to come a little further. You remember the name of the town, don't you?
Zihuatanejo.
I could use a good man to help me get my project on wheels. I'll keep an eye out for you and the chessboard ready. Remember, Red, hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things, and no good thing ever dies. I will be hoping that this letter finds you, and finds you well. Your friend, Andy.
Now, I don't know about you, Pat, but honestly, when I was looking at and picking these clips for today's slot, I was in tears. I mean, even the first one, you know, the colours are too bright, you know, you shouldn't be caged. And this one particularly, because this quiet moment, and you have to understand, it's not a very loud movie. It's a quiet, subtle movie, but it reveals kind of Andy's orchestration of hope and his hidden gifts to Morgan Freeman, their friendship. He wants him to join him, and it redefines the weight of the whole film, which is their relationship.
Now, you've got a clip of Tim Robbins actually talking about the whole thing.
Yeah, you know, funny enough, people think, oh, have they, you know, is there lots of clips of them together? There's only a few, and they talked about the idea of why the movie became so popular. This is Tim Robbins talking, so have a listen.
People would stop me on the show. I was living in New York at the time, and people would stop me on the street. A lot of guys, and tell me, you know, like working class dudes that are just out there on the street doing their jobs and stuff, would say how important the film was to them. That was when I started thinking, wow, this movie touched something in people that I guess a lot of movies don't. So what is it? Who knows what it is? I have a feeling it has to do with the idea that there's a great friendship and love that happens in the film, and I don't think we see a lot of films like that. Usually friendships are bonded around car chases and chasing skirts and stuff, and you know, but this is a genuine friendship, an adult love for each other. And maybe people need to see that. Maybe there's something about the idea that we all, no matter whether we're in prison or not, we all have things that put us in prison, whether it's a shit job or a bad relationship or whatever. And maybe we all want to believe that there's a Zihuatanejo ahead for us, regardless of our circumstances. So I'm not sure.
Tim Robbins talking about the appeal of the movie to all sorts of people. Mm. Now, finally, there was some sort of controversy about the ending and how it might be cut.
The final beach scene was, you know, more emotionally uplifting, but it wasn't actually in the original cut, but it was added later after screen tests because people wanted to see the reunion of Red and Andy together. They wanted that cinematic poetry and the kind of triumphant, I suppose you would call it, catharsis at the end. And, you know, we talked very briefly about the casting. I mean, I couldn't imagine Tom Hanks as Andy Dufresne. Maybe. Definitely not Kevin Costner, though. So, you know, in terms of the role Tim Robbins made it, his own. And he spoke as well about how the cinematography, Roger Deakins and the production designers had to paint the walls a certain grey to get those vignettes and shades of grey of what the prison was like. But then you see at that end, we saw, of course, the blue skies, the blue sea, an element of freedom for Andy in his red car at the end.
That beautiful moment of going literally, like we talked about The Wizard of Oz, going from black and white into colour.
Exactly. No, Pat, it's a beautiful movie. I'd urge anyone who's not seen it to dig it out and go watch it again.
Lisa Cannon, Head of Studio at DMG Media. Lisa, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.